It's 907. We are WYCB and heard in high definition on WPRS HD3. I'm Winston Cheney, as promised, gang. He is here live and in living color. He is the mayor for life. It's Mayor Marion Barry. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, Winston. Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fabulous. Fantabulous.
You look great.
I say, well, God is good.
All the time.
He blessed me. I'm 78 years of age.
78.
Born poor, black, in Mississippi, in poverty. And God gave me and my mother some gifts to push me toward education. And so I've done so much because of God's blessings. I want to give him all the praise.
We're going back in a couple of seconds, though. But say good morning to all the folks that are in the studio here. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning, Barry Day.
Yeah.
Marion Barry Day. You know when we first met?
It's been so long.
I came to town in 1980.
Okay.
I was working with Peter Green.
All right.
And you were on the show.
That's right.
With us.
I mean,
it's way back then, boy.
And yep, tell it to the high, tell it to the old. Tell it, you know, Peter was something else, wasn't
he? He was like my friend, too. But, you know, look, he introduced me to you.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And I go back. But before we move on, listen, we got to all praise Kathy Hughes.
Got to.
I mean, Kathy Hughes, and I go back eon years, at least 67, 68.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Debbie was owned by a white person, and she and Dewey were able to get that. I remember when she wanted to move to H Street, 4th and H.
From Nebraska.
In the city, spent us $75,000. And we didn't even worry about it getting paid back. We got enough money to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of a relationship between Kathy and myself. And she has just been, she and Alfred have just been tenacious and becoming the number one stations
Black
around
owned
the nation.
Company in the world.
Can you mean that?
Yeah.
In the world.
In the world. Black owned company
and,
in the world.
I don't think we can say too much about Kathy Hughes. But one thing about Kathy Hughes, she has never forgotten where she came from.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't get the big head.
Right.
I remember one summer, her grandfather started Pine and Wood in Mississippi. And I sent Christopher down there because he needed to be in that kind of setting.
Right.
He was a big urban guy, you know, all this kind of stuff. After being there for about a week, they called me. He said, come get him, because he wasn't used to that kind of lifestyle. And I called Kathy. I said, Kathy, what am I going to do? You said, keep him there.
Okay.
Keep him there. And I could go on and on about Kathy Hughes, her public service, her commentaries. It's just great to see her. Outstanding black woman, African-American woman, who's been discriminated against all the time, coming to this height,
right,
and not forget where she came from. So Kathy, baby, I love you. Thank you so much. You know, Kathy and I used to run hot and cold, you know. One day she's hot.
Uh-huh.
Next week she's cold. I'm cold.
Uh-huh.
I'm hot, you know. That means internal conversation.
Right, uh-huh.
But we never abandoned each other.
Exactly.
We just love each other. And I can't say too much about her. In this day, I never thought I would be here at this place. A whole day on Radio 1.
A whole day.
And these studios are fabulous up here.
Thank you, sir.
To see a black person and a black corporation come to this stage.
Black-owned operated.
Black-owned operated.
Yeah.
I own. Because historically, communication in the black community has been by the black newspapers.
Right.
And the radio station owned by white folks with black disc jockeys.
Right.
Et cetera. And this is something we all just pray about and thank God for.
All the time.
And I'm thankful that he got me to this place. And I believe deeply in God. I not always felt that way, Winston. I was trained as a scientist. And you know how scientists are. We talk about evolution and all that kind of stuff. But when I stop and look around, nobody could do what God has done.
Right.
To make the mountains and make the valleys and make the cities and make this and make that. But more importantly, I go to Temple of Praise. Bishop Staples is a fabulous bishop for us. We sort of a mega church. But he makes you feel right at home for everybody. So this is just, I'm just overcome, really. I'm got to hold back the tears because I'm so happy about
it. Let them go. Let them go. You got, look, you got an impressive background.
Yeah.
Before I get to it, I've got a surprise for you, though.
Oh, my God.
Put them on hold there. Got a surprise for you. Your first surprise. Let me see. My surprise, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am just blessed. I'm just here in South Carolina waiting to talk to the mayor for life, my very, very best friend.
I know who that is.
And who is this?
That's Roberta.
This is Roberta.
Oh, Roberta!
Your first surprise.
Yeah. I remember she was up on 18th Street, and we've been friends ever since, and she's gone through a lot.
Yeah.
Survived. And I talked
I can't hear him, Cheney.
About a month ago when she was here. And Roberta, I owe you a book. I couldn't hook it up at that time. A Mayor for Life book. I give it to you free. I won't charge you $25 for it. Because you've been such a friend all these years. Thank you, Roberta. Thank you.
Can you hear him now?
No, I still can't hear. Is it my phone?
Can you hear me now?
Okay. I thought maybe you could hear him, but...
Roberta?
She can't hear for some reason. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure can. Go ahead.
Okay, well, Marion, listen. The day is your day, but I'm going to take charge of this day. And don't tell me to mind my business, because I'm going to tell it like it is, okay?
Well, I always tell you, mind your own business.
What he said? I'm going to tell it like it is. You know, you will go down as one of the greatest mayors in history. I know that because one thing about you, Marion, you've always been a man. You stood for what you believed in. You helped everybody in Washington, D.C. that wanted help, including me. Now, I say this and say all of this. Now, your book. The book to get the story... Washington, get the book. Read the book and find out the true story about Marion Barry. Mm-hmm. Find out the way they tried to crucify him, tried to kill him several times, put him in jail, tried to get him killed in jail, had him in the baller rooms late at night with no protection. See, we went through all that.
Thank you, Roberta. She can't hear us, but...
I think she can now.
Can you hear me? Roberta, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, no. Nah. Oh, thank
right.
God.
Yeah, we got him now.
Winston, you got a good magic touch.
Had to work on it.
With these controls over
Roberta,
here.
Roberta, look, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling this morning and being my first surprise, all right?
Roberta.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. When you come back to Washington, you got to call me. I miss you last time.
I'm going to call you, man, but I'm not too. I mean, these people need to be buying this book.
Oh, I agree with you on that. They need to be buying this book.
They need to be behind this book. And let me tell you one thing. Especially, I'm going to have to call out some names now, okay?
Make it fast, though.
Okay,
we got
to
go.
I'm going to go up to Ben's Chili Bowl. Ben is gone now. But if Ben, you would have been over a million by now. Okay, but he's got three sons up there now.
Right, I know.
Okay, Virginia, three sons. Get the books. Put them in the store. Put a clear wrap over them so the chili won't get over them.
But the best thing to do, Roberta...
Mr. Lee, flower shop on the corner there. Put
order
the book
through Amazon.com.
Get the books in the school. Baron Harvey up at Howard University, professor of business. Get the books up at Howard University. Get those
Roberta,
books in public schools. Get them everywhere.
We're going to do all this.
All right, Roberta, we got to go, Roberta.
All right.
We got to go.
Got to go.
Get a piece of the pie.
Mr. Barry.
Yes. What's that?
Your background is so impressive.
I'm going to do that again.
Itabena, Mississippi.
Oh, my God.
Is that the home of B.B. King?
Well, he was right down the road.
Okay.
In Enola, about 15 miles from us.
Okay.
Mississippi Valley University is there now.
Okay.
When I was there, nothing but cotton fields.
Okay.
And corn fields and hogs and chickens and that kind of thing. I think they have a population now of about 6,000.
Okay.
Mississippi Valley is famous for Jerry Rice.
Okay.
Who's the outstanding football
greatest
player.
Greatest of all time.
Yeah, San Francisco, right. Yeah. But it was tough. I lived in a house without any running water, any electricity. We had to use lamps and candles to light the house. We had a tin roof, and I tell you, If you never lived in a house with a tin roof, don't ask for it, because when it rains, it says bing 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 bing. You can't sleep at all that night. My mother went to the third or fourth grade in school, and my father was a sharecropper. My mother was a sharecropper. That means that what happens after the Civil War, the white people had no laborers, and the laborers had no land.
Okay.
So they do what you call sharecropping. But it's an unequal system. They sell you the cotton seed at a price higher than they pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
They buy the cotton back at a price lower than they're going to pay for it. So it's an exploitive system. And the man owns the grocery stores and owns all these kind of things. But through all of that, my family survived.
You made it, yeah. Talking live with the mayor for life. He's celebrating 40 years. His name is Marion S. Berry, from Itabena to
Lamoine College
in
Fisk University.
Right, Fisk
University of Tennessee. Working on my doctorate for 3 years. Only black student out of 3,000 natural scientists at University of Tennessee for 3 years, and I really got kind of tired of that. It was just a tough life, but I joined the civil rights movement. But all those experiences helped me to make it to where I am now. It toughened me. It gave me resilience and courage and the kind of thing we all need. I just urge people who are listening, if you feel down and out, get up. Don't stay down there. You don't have to stay down there. You know, rise up. In fact, I tell people, Winston, that if you're getting knocked down, pull down, push yourself down, fall down on your back. If you fall down on your back, you can look up.
Mm-hmm.
If you can look up, you can get up.
Fall down.
If you can get up, you can go up.
Exactly.
And you can soar like an eagle. It's just that kind of philosophy that our black people need to deal with. Many of us have escaped physical slavery,
mm-hmm.
but our minds are enslaved. We still have psychologically slavery. And those of us who have liberated ourselves have a responsibility to reach back and liberate some others from their psychological slavery.
With your impressive educational background, what did you really want to be in life?
You know, when I was growing up, I didn't know what I wanted to be.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd ever get out of being poor.
Okay.
I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in poverty, like I was in Memphis, I went there when I was 8 years old, you don't see the world more than just what you see on a daily basis.
Right.
I remember, for instance, my mother and father, my mother and my stepfather sold their house for $15,000 to the Memphis Housing Authority. And we bought another for $25,000. My vision was so low, like it is with a lot of people, I couldn't see beyond that.
Okay.
You know, I went to Lamoine College. I started seeing a little bit brighter future. I didn't want to be a teacher. I didn't want to be an undertaker or a preacher or a social worker, anything like that. So I chose science. That was God moving in my mind. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, except maybe do a research scientist or do something like that. I never thought about politics.
At all.
Because when I grew up, there was not one black person on the boards of commissioners, the city council, nowhere. You could not find a black person.
Anywhere in the South.
Nowhere. And my idol, quite frankly, politically, is Adam Clayton Powell.
Okay.
I mean, Adam and I got to be friends when I moved to Washington. And I was there the day that the Congress took his title from him. And he, in his own office, he cried like a baby because he was just so hurt. But then he went outside on that steps of the Capitol, made one of the most beautiful, stirring speeches I've ever heard in my life. So to come from that, like a lot of folks in D.C. now who live in Ward 8, their visions are right down the neighborhood. We got to raise their visions, look across the Anacostia River, raise their vision, look across Washington, because the world is very small now with the internet, with the tweets and Facebooks and
real small.
All those social media. It's a very small world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not doing enough in our school system to train enough people to deal with this big old bad world out here. It's tough, but you got to have resilience.
You've done city council, school board, you've done it all.
Yeah, absolutely. 31 years.
Of
that time, sir. 40 years of public service
right.
in terms of the people, because I have never forgotten how it was for me.
Were you ever ANC?
No, I didn't go that
way. Okay.
I started right at school board.
School board.
President of the school board. Then city council in 74 at large. Mm-hmm. Then mayor in 78, 82, 86. And then mayor again in 94. 16 years. I bet that record won't be beat anytime soon. Mm-hmm. But God gave me that kind of resilience and that kind of vision to do so. We did so much, Winston, as you know.
Oh, I know.
They helped so many people. Particularly our young people. I love these young people. Mm-hmm. Summer jobs. Over 100,000 people went through that.
When I first came to D.C., I'm still trying to figure out how every young person in D.C. said you got them a job. I don't know how you did it.
That's the truth.
How is that possible?
But by having a vision.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I grew up bagging groceries, selling rags, and pop bottles, and any other kind of way. Chop cotton, pick cotton, to earn a living. To a legitimate living. And I swore whenever I got into any position, I would do something about that.
Right.
So when I got elected in 78, about 2 months after I got sworn in January of 79, it came out of my own head, this vision to give every young person in D.C. who wanted a job, a summer job.
I think you did, too.
We had over 25,000 young people. It's gone downhill now. They asked them, they had 11,000. I've talked to Muriel Bowser about that, who I support. And she's just pledging a summer job for everyone. Not just summer job, year-round job, meaningful job, 5,000 of those. And she's talking about 10,000 a year permanent job. Mm-hmm. But a lot of politicians, somehow or another, seem to be disconnected. And I'm a very strong supporter of Vince Gray. Mm-hmm. But it just seems to be disconnected from our young people. They're alienated. They think they can do everything by themselves. A lot of them do. A lot of them think they're right about everything. I have a 34-year-old son. And I'm working on this attitude that you need help along the way.
Right.
You can't do it all by yourself. These young people are not scared of anything, you know, and they grew up in poverty, a lot of them, and we made them dependent. People dependent on Medicaid, on food stamps, et cetera. We say to people, get up off your knees and do for self, as Minister Farrakhan talks about.
Right.
You know, look inside of you. Get the resilience that our grandfathers and grandmothers had. Any group of people who can survive slavery can survive anything.
Yeah.
It's the most cruelest, inhumane thing that you can find is slavery.
In the history of mankind.
Only a group of people
brought
here and chained.
Right.
The rest of the immigrants who come, they come voluntarily seeking some new way of life. The people who come across the border seeking a new way of life. But black folks, but in spite of all that, we're still here.
Yet we still rise.
Kathy Hughes is still here. And a lot of other people are still here.
City council, school board. What was it like the first day being elected to the greatest city in the world as a second elected mayor? What was it like day one?
To be frank with you, I hadn't gotten over the shock.
I know you haven't.
I was supposed to come in third. I mean, Ivan O'Donnell, my campaign manager, maneuvered a great campaign against Walter Washington, Sheridan Tucker. We sort of put them together, Tweedy D, Tweedy Dum. Mm-hmm. You know, you get one, you get the other.
Right.
And my first day in City Hall, I was talking to Ivanhoe, who I've known since 1960.
Donaldson.
Mm-hmm. One of the most brilliant strategists in the world. I said, Ivanhoe, what do we do? He said, well, call a cabinet meeting. And that's what I did.
Okay.
The first time is that I still was just unbelievable that I had come this far that quickly. I had only been in Washington since 65.
Okay.
I was 43 years of age, the youngest mayor at that time. Agent Fenton, you know, did it later.
Okay.
But it's an awesome responsibility.
I read this morning where you are the first civil rights activist to lead a major American city.
Absolutely. God bless me.
Yeah.
To come out of the civil rights movement, SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. We got a lot of sync people in Washington now. And Frank Smith, one of my dear friends, was on the city council. Then there are others who were there. And the civil rights movement did so much for me. It broadened my perspective in life. Mm-hmm. It took me from a little tiny place over here to the world. Again, I got involved with the anti-Vietnam War movement. All those things taught me leadership. We don't have it today. These young people don't have any causes today when I rally around. And so I say to them, let's find some causes. There are a lot of them around here that you can rally around. Rally around the fact that we're not educating everybody properly. Right. Our school system is all right. The chancellor is good. But the school system needs major reform.
Okay.
Where there's a guarantee that there's a quality seat in every neighborhood for every child, regardless of their circumstance, regardless of their well-being. And that's been missing.
We're talking live with Mayor Marion Barry celebrating 40 years here at Radio 1.
40 years. How
40
about
years.
That?
Y'all clap for giving me 40 years.
40 years.
We'll take a break and come back and talk about the future of D.C., all right?
Thank you.
That's next on WYCB, the spirit of today's gospel.
Join 1340 WYCB.
We're back live on the morning show with none other than the mayor for life celebrating 40 years of public service. His name is Mayor Marion S. Barry. Mayor, welcome back.
Thank you, Ben Winston.
Mayor, having gained international acclaim like yourself, what's the greatest city you've been to and the worst city you've been to, you visited?
Well, we in the greatest city in the world.
There you go. There you
Washington, D.C. is voted by those who do these kind of things as the number one city to live in.
In the world.
And it started with me. When I came in 65, Washington, D.C. was a little southern sleepy town with no downtown like we have now.
Right.
No anything. We doubled the number of hotel rooms, built a big old $86 million convention center. Now we got an $800 million one. And all this, to every house needs a good foundation.
Right.
I laid a great foundation.
Yes, you did.
For others to pick up part on. You don't get these things done overnight. So when Sharon Pratt Kelly came in, she continued some of it. Mm-hmm. We lost the Redskins because of her, but that's right. Another discussion.
Right.
And et cetera. But this is the greatest city to live in, not by Amanda Sanders, by the international standards
right. In
the world. This is the best city. We better than Paris, better than London, better than Moscow, better than Beijing, better than anything.
Taiwan.
Yeah. Taiwan, you name
city,
it.
Yeah.
We're here. The other thing, Winston, before we continue, is that we'll talk more about this. My new movement now is going to be trying to save black boys.
Okay.
Save black boys. These black boys are in trouble. Not only just in Washington, but all over. They're in trouble because they may get shot by some white police officer, mm-hmm. like Michael Brown did, and Trayvon Martin,
right.
and all those people. But the day that they live in, and I'm going to release these numbers, we have the highest number of arrests and lockups for young people almost in the world.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
That I told Chief Lanier, I told Vince Gray, we got to stop that. Stop. Got to find some prevention and some help for these young people. I'm going to get my church of Temple of Praise to adopt Baloo and Hart. We asked other churches to adopt a school where they put a black man and a black woman hooking up with these students. In Ward 8, low-income communities, there are black boys who have never seen a black man get up and go to work. Mm. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Because 82% of the families are headed by single
82.
Women. 82%. And I admire those black women. But you need a man in the house.
Gotta have a man.
To help teach a man to be a man.
Right.
You know, that's why I have 6 African-American godsons.
Okay.
All with different ages and different problems. Because what's lacking is love. What's lacking is direction. They get the direction from these video games. Can you imagine that? that video game. What is it called? But it's cops. It's people shooting cops. Auto.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Theft Auto. That is outrageous.
Yeah.
To be shown in our community.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they don't show that in the white community.
At all.
I bet they don't show it in the Jewish community.
Right.
But don't show it in the Asian community.
Mm-hmm.
It's only us and parents who are not enlightened allow their children to buy that kind of video. That's what their image is. They work, leave out in the morning, they may see the drug dealer in the corner down there.
Right.
They go to school, some of the teachers don't care too much about them. They come back home. Let me tell you something that's tragic in this city. Last 2 weeks, Mr. Gray cut 42% of the cash payments for TANF workers, about 6,000 families. But then I go over 2100 where my office is, and I see people around the corner on the 1st of October. And I found out that there were people whose electricity has been cut off for 2 months and 3 months. And we got all the $11 billion budget. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Where are the kids going to study?
Right.
No, refrigerator doesn't work. You can't save anything. That's a miserable way to live.
Can't afford to buy anything else.
And so Jim Graham and I are doing something about that. We got a bill for the council that we're going to get out very, very soon. But it just, I overcome with rage when I think about that.
Got a surprise for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
My second surprise is standing by telephonically. Caller, good morning. Caller, are you there? I've got a call standing by. Caller, are you there?
Chaney, I was supposed to be gone. This is still Roberta. I need to go.
All right, yeah, call's back, all right? All right. Thanks, Roberta. I had another surprise for you.
Roberta is persistent.
Listen, after being mayor, city council, school board, how do you want the city to remember Marion Barry?
Well, there's so many things I could say. But I guess the number one thing would be I cared and I helped. Somebody along the way. But I could say a lot of more specifics, but that's that characterizes my spirit, characterizes my direction, and characterizes my inner self and my commitment to God. That while I'm on this earth, I had this blood infection that almost took me out of here. And I couldn't walk, I couldn't throw in the bed, I couldn't do anything.
But you look good daily.
And a third of the people who get it don't come back.
Right.
But God so fit with a lot of prayers and good doctors that bring me back. I'm in the two-thirds. Anytime you're in the land of living, you got to be thankful to God for that. And I thank people for their prayers, for their concerns, and et cetera. But I believe in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen God work miracles. I've seen him work miracles on other people. And I believe deeply that if you believe in him, you have faith enough, because it's a faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains, and that God is the God on the mountaintop, he's the God of the valley. So wherever you are, God is there for you.
Right.
If you just open the doors. That's what my Bishop Davis teaches us, that he's there for you. But you got to ask. You can't expect God to take every step for you. You take two. I take one, he'll take two.
Right, right.
Yeah, but you got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get out of this misery kind of thing. Oh, poor me. I can't get this done. I can't get that done. You got domestic violence. You got men beating up women. You got to stop all that stuff in our community. It's fragmenting our community. It's killing our community. But more importantly, we got to have black men to step to the plate. If you lie down with a baby and get a baby, you have a responsibility to take care of that baby. We got guys out here who got four or five babies.
Yeah.
By four or five different women. And don't care for damn about it, darn about it. Yeah. Okay.
Is there anything that Marion Barry has not done that he wants to do?
That's kind of hard because I've done so much.
You've done a lot.
I've been to 20 African countries.
20.
I've been in around the world. I've been to most Caribbean countries. I've been to Paris. I've been to London. I've not been to Moscow yet. I've been in Beijing, and I just want to see people prosper.
Okay,
that's all. I mean, I'm selfless in that regard.
I'll take a call.
I've been on vacations everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Let me see.
I don't have much money, but I do it anyway.
Caller, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Mayor?
Good morning.
I just want to tell you I love you. You are my inspiration. I love you. I talk about you all the time because you have done great, great things for Washington, D.C. And I tell everybody, when we had rats and stuff all in the road, you cleaned it up. You put trash cans in our backyard.
Yep.
You have done so much for this city. Nobody knows like I know. I grew up when I was a little kid, but you got them jobs and everything. I love you, Mayor Burry, and I don't care what. You will always be the mayor of Washington, D.C. If you want tomorrow, guess who won't be the mayor?
We know that.
So I just want you to know you are so welcome in my life, and I hope the rest of these Washingtonians that I speak to, they love you too.
Thank you.
So I just want to say thank you for being our mayor.
Thank you
for being here.
Thank you.
And just have a great day. I just want to say thank you.
We got to tell that to the Washington Post because they can't find any good,
right.
any good that I've done. But I don't worry about them either.
I tell you what you cleaned up.
What's that?
The adult community up there on 14th Street. You cleaned all that up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you cleaned that up.
Yep.
And I mean, it's a new downtown now.
Look at 14th Street. Look at U Street.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't do, which I regret, there were 31 black businesses on U Street. That when I built the Reed Center to attract businesses, mm-hmm. I didn't put any protections in for them.
Okay.
And so they're mostly out of business now.
Yeah.
But also we have Lee's Florist who stayed through the riots.
Yeah.
And Ben's Chili Bowl, Industrial Bank, Dora Mitchell. Can you imagine his grandfather started a bank during the Depression?
Wow.
Can you imagine that? A bank during the Depression.
A bank, of all things.
That's right. That was the time we had in this country, Winston, over 100 black banks.
Yeah.
Now we got about 6 or 7 or 8 at the most. It's terrible.
Industrial's one.
I mean, remember, Independence used to be black owned, but not owned by white people. Bill Fitzgerald was turned over in his grave if he knew that was happening.
Yeah.
He worked so hard to get us Independence, federal savings and loans. But we can't despair. We can just look back at the past and get stronger. You know, like I said, Sterling Brown, it's strong men get stronger. Strong men get stronger.
With your political background and all you've done in this world for this city and this country, how proud were you 6 years ago when President Obama was elected?
Oh, man.
Did it bring tears to your eye?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was watching the returns, mm-hmm. and it was clear he's going to win, be our president. Obviously, I teared up.
Yeah.
Because I knew.
A lot of us did.
But one thing I like about Barack, he said, I sat on the shoulders of other people before me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of political leaders don't realize that. Mm-hmm. That I remember Jesse Jackson running in 88 and 84.
I read you spoke at the convention.
I nominated Jesse Jackson.
Exactly.
In 84 in San Francisco.
Okay.
And, we had Percy Sutton and Richard Hatcher, a lot of other people vying for it. I told Jesse, I've known Jesse forever. I said, Jesse, I'm not going to be out here trying to get this done. If you want me to do it, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
I went on about my business doing some other things at the convention. And about 4 or 5 hours before the night was his night. What happens out there, your night, it take all the other signs down on your signs out there, et cetera. He said, homeboy, I want you to do it. I said, Jesse, I can't write a speech that quick. He said, homeboy, I want you to do it.
I want you to do it.
I went and got a couple of people helped me write my speech. And the toughest speech I've ever made, Winston, was standing on that podium because you look out and it's black out there. You don't see nothing.
See, people don't understand that.
Those of us
when
who speak
state,
a lot want to see the people so you get a reaction. But I got it done, and I thought about it near the end. I said, run. Jesse, run.
And that's the
run.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse,
run.
Jesse, Lewis, Jackson. Jesse, Lewis, Jackson. And sat down and got all that applause. Mm-hmm. It was great. And just 2 days ago, Sante, who works for me in my legislative council, pulled up my 88 speech before the Rules Committee at a whole convention. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, to go back and and hear that speech.
And to see
and,
it.
And the kind of things I said then that I believe now. Can you imagine a little black boy born in Mississippi in poverty?
It'll be
standing before the entire world. Democratic convention and the world.
And the world.
With televisions all on you. And you asked by Jesse to represent him on the Rules Committee. But again, goes back to leadership. That's why we got to see this black boy so we can have some other Jesse Jacksons.
Right.
And some other Marion Barrys and some other Richard Hatchers and other Dick Gregories and, mm-hmm. and all those great leaders and Adam Powers and everything else and Harold Washington. And,
That's, Mark Morial's and all.
Yeah, you got to do that. Mm-hmm. Mayor Smoke from Baltimore. Mm-hmm. We got to grow our own. We're not doing enough of that.
Wilson, good.
Wilson, yeah.
Yeah.
We're not doing enough. Right. To grow our own. That's why I'm going to make this a crusade.
Okay.
To help save these black boys. I'm going to call on the preachers, call on teachers, call on everybody, the private sector, to gather around. Let's save these black boys and change as many laws as we have to change to make sure we stop locking these boys up for little bitty things. You know, there was a time we lock them up for one or two bags of weed. I'm not getting involved whether that's good or bad.
Right.
But it's crazy. For two bags of weed, you get locked up all this time. Mm-hmm. We decriminalize that. I'm not getting involved with the legalization thing because that's what the people got to decide. Mm-hmm. But again, I can't put too much emphasis. I'm sure you agree with me.
Right.
We need to save these black boys. We need to have more black teachers at elementary level. We need to give them the support they need, give them the image we need. Got to let them see the world more than just Anacostia, that neighborhood. See more than city.
Mayor Barry, you know how time has gotten behind me.
Oh.
We've been going 50 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And
it doesn't seem like that.
And not a quiet moment in the whole 50 minutes. But but listen, you got a long day here at Radio 1. A lot of talking.
Again,
and
I can't.
I thank you for coming to me first.
You are first. You deserve
it. I appreciate
it.
That. I really appreciate
it. I suspect when you look at all the on-air personalities, you probably been here the longest.
Longer than any of them.
Probably. Yeah. Yep. You deserve it.
Thank you.
Plus the fact you've always cared about the community, not just the religious community.
Right.
Or your program beams, but just the entire community. I've seen you in a number of situations where you were the MC or you were the person that I would to speak somewhere. Right. And I just love you, man.
I love you too, Rob.
There's only one person at Radio 1 I love more. That's Kathy Hughes.
Well, listen, we got to get out of here, though. But I thank you again for coming to me first. And you've got other stations to go to. But I wish you nothing but the best.
But again, I wish people could see this operation up here.
Yeah.
I mean, for a black woman and Alfred and Kathy, other folks at Radio 1 and TV 1 could see this operation. I mean, it makes you... Your blood just curl because it's such a great delight in 2014 to see this kind of operation. So, Kathy, I love you very much, and I thank you for this day because it wouldn't have happened without you because you run things with a pretty firm hand.
Right.
You know.
But, Mayor Barry, I appreciate you coming by this morning. The book is called what? Before we go.
Big one.
The book is called?
Mayor for Life.
Mayor for Life.
Mayor for Life. And in terms of getting it, at this juncture, we're trying to set up our own website, but we're not quite gotten there yet. So people can ask Amazon.com for the book that'll create the desire. What I learned about publishing from a black woman out of New York, that publishers, authors, don't make much money beyond their advance. Mm-hmm. And so I got a good advance, but I'm going to still plow ahead, you know what I mean? We're now looking at a movie.
Right.
And that whole kind of thing. Man, thank you, Winston.
We got to go.
And God bless you.
I love you, man.
And all your listeners.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you all so much for your prayers. Oh, I forgot to mention, we got to vote on the 4th.
Got to vote.
We got to vote.
Okay, all right.
We got 7,000 people didn't vote in April 1st, 11,000 awarded 7. Dr. King died for us to get the right to vote.
Right.
Fannie Lou Hamer got put off her land for getting the right to vote. And surely those of us who are comfortable up here, up north, as we say, or up south, vote on November the 4th. Whatever candidate that you like, vote, 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 vote. You can afford not to vote.
Thank you, sir. We got to go.
You. Right.
Mayor Barrett, celebrating 40 years here at Radio 1. We are WYCB at Heard in High Definition on WPRS HD3.